Okay, so we're continuing Hilchot Deot, Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, Chapter 5, Halacha Number 7. All right. So here's an interesting question for you guys. What would you say? Can we all agree that one of the great challenges in the Jewish world today is put aside the enemies, the anti-Semitism, the assimilation, all the challenges, that one of the big challenges in our world is Jewish unity? Would we be willing to agree to that? What would you say is the single most important ingredient necessary to bring more Jewish unity? By the way, I believe that this is true for world unity, but let's talk about Jewish unity just because that's our lens, yeah? Misha? Tolerance.
Communication and open-mindedness.
I would say that those two are really connected. Because tolerance comes, right? Pardon?
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, okay. Tolerance comes from communication, right? Open-mindedness comes from communication, right? You know, the Ramban, I think I quoted this to you once, the Ramban has an amazing vort. It says that when Yosef comes to find his brothers out in the field, so they see him and they throw him in the pit, and everybody else knows the story, his history, right? And that is probably one of the nadirs of Jewish disunity, right? I mean, if brothers can throw their brother in a pit and then sit down to have lunch and sell him as a slave, that's pretty bad. So Ramban says, if you look at that pasuk, if you look at the verse there, it says, Vayiru oto merachok. They see him from a distance, they see him coming. So Ramban says, it's because they're looking at him from a distance that they can hate him in that way. If they were able to see him from up close, then they wouldn't be able to hate him that way. In other words, if you could get in the mind of your fellow, if you could be with him, if you could communicate with him, if you could talk to him, if you could understand him, then you wouldn't be able to hate him. You might get very annoyed by him, but you wouldn't be able to hate him, right? Which brings us to the next question. So, would there be an instance when you actually think that communication would not only not lead to unity, but would actually do the opposite? Like, is there a time when you don't communicate? When you're better off not talking? Yeah.
You said that communication leads to open-mindedness. I think before you even took, I think that's true, but also open-mindedness leads to communication. Because if you're so intolerant, like, I don't see the Shulchan Aruch of Mei Yesharim wanting to and being open to having a sit-down with Rabbi Lisa of the Reform Synagogue, you know? Like, I just don't see that conversation really happening.
Well, first of all, if you want to talk about the Natura Karitanik having a conversation with Rabbi Lisa of the Reform Movement, which would be two extremes, right? So the whole thing that we're studying in the Rambam is that you start from the middle. In other words, Nicha, it's hard to get the Natura Karitanik to sit with Rabbi Lisa, maybe. But, you know, we could start, you know, like, let's say there's two individuals here in the Beis Medrash who would have any, and I'm not saying there is, I'm not alluding to anybody. Let's say you're talking about two rabbis who are both conservative or two rabbis who are both Dati Lumi. You can start from the middle ground and work your way out. But putting that aside for the moment, when would you say communications is not good? When does communications lead to disunity? Yes?
When you're communicating, like when you're angry when you're communicating, or communicating with a sense of anger.
Okay, communicating with anger would be one. What else? What if you're not angry? Can you think of an instance where you're better off not communicating and you're not angry?
When
the other person's angry. Now, what does that mean? Why is that? That's what the Rambam's going to get into now.
What are you going to do to make somebody not angry? Like, somebody's really angry. Like, if, let's say, like, Mikey was really angry at me because...
What's the worst thing you can say to someone when they're angry? Anyone want to take a guess?
Chill out, man.
Calm down. Is that there's nothing worse that ticks you off. And you do this, and we do this. And I can tell you it's like a script that you're in that you can't seem to get out of. I know how to say this, and I know how to share this. But it doesn't mean that you don't sometimes find yourself in the script and find yourself doing it all again. Come home, when your kids go upset, say, okay, first of all, calm down. Dumbest thing you say. As you say it, you want to like grab the words. You know it's, right? Okay? That's what the Rambam's going to talk about. Now, what's interesting about this halacha, as you're going to see, The my absolute favorite part. It's interesting to me that it takes until the middle of Perek Hei that the Rambam really starts to get into the meat of Hilchot Deot. I want you to know that everything that we've been doing until now has just been preparation. OK? Okay? Perek Vav, in my opinion, is the pinnacle of Hilchot Deot. It is the most incredible chapter. It's the only Perek of Hilchot Deot that I would recommend a person learn by heart. I don't recall a day in my life where I haven't utilized the lessons of Perek Vav. And we're getting to the point where Perek He, chapter 5, is preparing us for Perek Vav. Okay? So what does the Rambam say? So just to remind you of the beginning of Halacha Zayin in the Rambam, so you understand how he gets here, I'll just read it through, because we did the first half of this Halacha before Purim. Talmud Chacham lo yehei tzoek v'tzoveach b'shad dibro kiveimot v'chayot. This is on page 99 if you're in the English one, 99-98, right? A Talmud Chacham, and remember we're saying a Talmud Chacham is someone who has or wants balance in his life. He shouldn't be screaming and yelling, you know, like an animal. For lo yagbi akol obyoter, he shouldn't raise his voice too much, right? He should speak pleasantly with everyone, right? The phrase im habriot is not just your fellow Jew. It's not just your fellow human being. It's your fellow living creature, according to one opinion. In other words, if you have a dog and you speak to your dog, right? You know, it took me a while. We have a dog at home, right? And it took me a while to get to the point where if the dog is out and it's barking, I can whistle to it, now it'll come. It's an amazing thing. I still haven't figured out how that worked, but it does, right? I'll go outside, I'll go, right? I'll wait a second, it'll come running. I find myself thinking, oh, only my kids would be like that. That'd be amazing. I thought we could do this in a raita. I'll practice this, and by Purim, I'll just walk into the dorm in the morning, and I'll go, and all the guys will jump out and come to Minyan, but it hasn't worked yet. But anyway, so even if you're talking to your dog, you don't yell at your dog. You know, you don't yell. You talk menachat, right? It sounds like a funny thing, which would suggest if, and you don't have to read the Rambam this way, if that's true, by the way, it means that a percentage of why you talk pleasantly to your fellow is not just for your fellow. It's because you become a better person, right? And we're going to get to that in a second, okay? Ukshiyadaber benachat, and when he talks pleasantly, yizaher shelo yitrachek ad shira'ek divrei gaseruach. He shouldn't speak in a fashion that's distant. And if you remember, we said that we're not talking about physical distance, although there is that too. But how you relate to a person, you know, be down to earth. Don't put yourself above someone, right? Umagdim shalom lechol adam, and say hello first. Remember I told you that story about, you know, Gut Morgen, Herr Muller, right? Kedesh tehei ruchan nochai menu, that their you know, perception of you should be good. You should just be spreading pleasantness, right? We talked about that. V'dan et kol adam lekav zchut, and judge every person meritoriously. Misaper b'sheva chaviro. Speak only well. Speak in praise of your fellow human being. V'lo bignuto klal. Don't speak negatively about anyone, ever. Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. Pursue peace. Want peace. Love peace. Okay. And now the Rambam gets into, right? Oh, and we said, I'm going the wrong way. And now the Rambam gets into, im ro'esh advarav mo'ilim v'nishma'im. Now, if you see that the things that you're saying are helpful and they're being heard, omer, then you say them. It's a very strange line, because you only find out if the things you're saying are being heard once you've said them, right? And the Rambam says, if you see that your words are going to be heard, then you say them, right? V'im lav, but if you don't think your words are going to be heard, don't say them. So I'll tell you an interesting thing. There are two important details here, maybe three. First of all, it's interesting that, you know, as an example, let's take, for example, any area where someone in your life is giving you words that in some way, shape, or form are disciplinary, right? Like there's guys that are here who, you know, I'll go over to them, I'll say, listen, you know, I woke you up and you didn't make it on time and, you know, you can do better, you can whatever. And then there's guys that if they don't wake up, like I'll try to wake them up, I'll tell them, I won't go over and have a zicha with them. So sometimes a person feels like, how come he's pushing my buttons and he's not pushing his buttons? It's actually the opposite. Because you get a sense that someone's willing. You know, one of the greatest qualities a person can develop is the ability to receive critique, the ability to receive tochacha. A significant percentage of becoming better in your life is the ability to let other people tell you, even teach you, what you need to work on. And if you can't hear critique, if you can't hear people tell you when you're wrong, then you lose a major opportunity to grow. Never mind, you know, where that energy comes from. The inability to hear someone critique you is clearly born of arrogance. But putting that aside, right? So sometimes, look, different people are in different spaces. So let's say I'm telling a boy he has to get out of bed, and I sense that he's upset about it, right? So I'll at least try. I don't always succeed to go over later in the day, maybe the next day, whatever, and talk. You know, hate me in the morning as long as you love me in the afternoon. You know, I have this love-hate relationship with Aryeh. That's okay, right? But what if you get to a point where you feel that a person's getting angry at you? So then actually, you shouldn't be doing it, right? And it's not for me to judge where the person's at. Akash Baruch Hu judges all of us, you know, and it's very dangerous, by the way, to assume. Like, let's say, for example, there's one particular fellow who I saw after a few times that he wasn't just, like, not enjoying the wake-up. Nobody enjoys being woken up, or most normal human beings don't enjoy being woken up. But it was upsetting him, and he was getting angry, and I saw that it was interfering with my ability to talk to him in Torah and other things. So I just had to let go of it, right? Just let go of it. So you shouldn't assume, by the way, that that means that I judge this person, because the Rambam first says, Heve dan kol adam lekav zchut, for all I know, judge a person meritoriously, for all I know, the very fact that he could be in a state of upsetness and not have a temper tantrum is huge for this fellow. Maybe this fellow, you know, up until this year, and now he's growing, like, you can't judge a person where he's at, but you have to sense sort of how you have an impact on another human being. That's very important, right? But understand that it's a compliment to a person when you can go back and give them tochacha, right? Like, I had a relationship with Rabbi Aaron. The first time I came to teach at Israelite, I was invited to give a class here. I'd never heard of Israelite. This is back in 1994, 95. I'd never heard of Israelite, you know? And I get this message that a woman who had worked with the Missing in Action, and she had heard me speak at some meeting for them, you know, would I come and give a class? It was in the Old City. I couldn't, back then, you know, there was no web, there was no Google, so I couldn't, so I asked around, I finally found somebody who heard of it, I thought it sounded like a beer, you know, so I went, and it was amazing, you know, they were adults, and they were thirsty for learning, whatever, and just before I gave the class, so Rabbi Aaron, who I'd never met before, said, do you mind if I sit in on the class? I said, no, I don't mind, you know, pleasure, right? And they invited me, and, you know, I mean, I basically got a message that said, would you come teach Jews who are less than affiliated in the Old City of Jerusalem, who are thirsty to study, and they're all adults, and Nach will pay you. Sure. Great, I hadn't been in the Old City a while. Anyways, he said it in the class, and then I gave the class, whatever. I didn't know that they were looking for teachers. I just thought, you know, they need a lecturer. So I get a message 2-3 days later, and he wants to meet with me, right? So I, you know, came back and went in for a meeting. I figured maybe he liked the class, maybe he wanted me to come back and teach a class again. So he sits down and he says, you know, that they like the class and we want to know if you'd be interested in coming to teach. And then he says to me, would you be interested in hearing a critique of the class? Now, nobody had ever done that before. I'd never, you know, you go in, somebody invites you to lecture, they tell you they like it, they'd like you to teach, whatever. Nobody had ever asked me that question before. So I said, sure. And he proceeded to actually pick apart the exact weaknesses that I knew I had, that I knew I needed to work on, right? Like one by one. Mamash, unbelievable. And I was pretty floored by the whole experience, and I thought it was amazing. And then he said, you would begin to come to teach, and I said, look, I'll make you a deal. I'll come to teach if you're willing to sit in on 3 or 4 classes and do this again, which I thought was a very valuable experience. Everybody has what to learn from everybody, right? But if you feel that your words aren't being heard, like if you feel that I'm coming back to you again and again about an issue, it's because I feel that you're willing to hear it. That's a compliment. Not everybody's on the madriga. If you feel that I've got an issue and I don't come back to you, I could be wrong. It's because I think you're not ready to hear it. That's not such a compliment. Okay? So the Rambam says, you have to sense this. Now the second issue here, which is something to think about, is how do you change the chicken and the egg here? Like, in order to be able to say it then, you need to feel that your words are going to be heard. But how do you know if your words are going to be heard before you say it? So what's the obvious answer to that question? Pardon? Make a chicken sandwich. Okay.
Maybe like you could just gauge what state you're in, whoever you're talking to is in, and like try to judge that. Like it's connected as much as he could to assuage Yaakov.
It's a much simpler answer.
I think it's what we do constantly. I think you're constantly.
Much simpler answer. Much simpler answer.
I mean, you could say like, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, I say like, well, first thing.
Much simpler answer. Okay. What am I looking for here? It's one word.
Love.
Relationship. In order to be able to gauge, whether someone else is ready to hear, can hear what you have to say, you have to have a relationship with them. If some guy walks in the room, I've watched individuals who walk in off the street. You know, we used to have this sometimes, you know, and you'll see this still every once in a while in the summer, you'll see. Summer at a right this very unique time. Summer's man bechalal is my favorite man of the year. First of all, there's a lot going on, lots of different holidays, lots of tiulim, lots of different topics, lots of seminars. But you also have that energy that all these travelers bring. All the hitchhikers start to show up. And every once in a while, you'll have someone, he'll just walk in. We'll be davening mincha, right? And he'll walk in, you know. So imagine a guy walks in here, and he's got like a cut-off t-shirt and a pair of shorts and a pair of sandals. And he's eating, a cheeseburger. Okay, so that might be a little extreme. But, you know, and he walks in, he's got no kippah on. It's mila mincha. What would you do? So I've been in situations where someone will walk over to a person like that and say, you know, you're in a shul. You're in a shul. Put a kippah on. Right? Get Yaakov, right? Why can you not do that? Right? Because you don't know if your words are going to be heard. What's missing in order to at least have a reasonable possibility to be able to even make an assumption that your words might be heard in a relationship? You cannot give tochacha to a person. You can't even begin to give words of communication, of approval, until you have a relationship with the person. Now, the third point, don't forget your question, is what's that doing here? You're going to see that the issue of tochacha is all about perek vav. Why is that here? Yes. Pardon?
You didn't know who Rabbi Aaron was.
No, I did have some relationship with him because I taught a class. And he came over to me afterwards. And we were sitting and having a talk. And then he was able to say to me, would you? And by the way, notice he didn't just start to critique me.
He asked me.
He said, you know, would you be open to it? I never asked him this question, actually. But looking back on it, I imagine... I mean, it turned out that they were looking for lecturers, and he'd heard about me, and he wanted to know if I was interested. And I was blown away by this place. I was floored. By the way, for those of you around, when we start to run our Imran Brown programs in the summer, if you get the chance to go sit in on a day, or you can talk to Avmatl, because he's always looking for people to do Adrachah and to help out. I think Zach did some of this last year. It's an amazing experience to see what we do with who these students are. It's just an amazing experience. But looking back on it, I think maybe, I don't know, I have to ask him, maybe one of the reasons why he did that was because he was looking for someone who was at least able to say yes. Whether it was easy to hear is an interesting question, right? The frightening thing is whether I'm still working on those things like 15 years later. But you understand the point. You have to have some kind of a kesher with the person. And you can build the beginning of a relationship in a minute, you know? So the third piece is what this is doing here. So I'll tell you what I think. This I don't know, but this is my sense. Perek Vav is how I relate to another human being. It's all about how you impact others. But Perek Hey, the fifth chapter here, is all about how these same processes impact me. What the Rambam is focusing on here is not when I give tochacha, when I tell someone off, what it does to you, but what it does for me, how I develop. If you remember, Perek Dalet was how I find balance in the physical, with diet, with health, with sleep. Perek Hey is how I find balance in the spiritual, in the emotional, in the experiential, right? And part of that balance is the ability to know when to communicate and when not to communicate, which brings us to this halacha, okay? So if you see that you have something to say and you think a person's ready to hear it, say it. If you don't think he's ready to hear it, don't say it.
It could be so awkward, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, let's say, like,
you tell someone they need to shower or work out.
It's a great example. It's a great example. Let's say did you want to say another example? No?
No, it's fine.
Okay. You don't want to tell him off because he might not be ready to hear it, but, you know. It's actually Gemara says that's a siman of a level of Torah. When Talmidei Chachamim kind of have to share their Torah, they interrupt each other, whatever. It's not quite the Knesset, but anyway. So let's say there's a guy and he doesn't shower. And he doesn't shower for a whole week and he stinks. Right? And you want to tell him off. You want to tell him, listen, you need to take a shower, right? So we're going to see in Perek Vav that one of the essential pieces of being able to do that is, do you think he's really going to listen to what you have to say? And by the way, part of whether he's able to listen to what you have to say, in my opinion, and we'll get into this, is where it's coming from. In other words, a person has to know that you so care about him, and you have to believe that you're communicating that the only reason you're sharing with this is because you care about him. It's not about you. In other words, let's say that this guy stinks, and you're in a teal out in the Negev, and it's just the two of you. Well, then obviously the fact that he stinks is only bothering you. You're not doing it for him. Like, what does he care? He's happy. So I could not think of a possible way that I would bring something like that. In fact, I would look at a situation like that and think, okay, so Hashem is putting this in my life so that I can develop some tolerance. Let it go. But imagine if you're all going out to town, you know, to a restaurant for a party because, you know, somebody's finishing a masechta, and he stinks. And you know that there are going to be some nice girls there. And you think, like, they're not going to talk to him. He might get hurt. He might be embarrassed. So then if you find a way to share with them, listen, you know I love you, you know, whatever, it doesn't bother me, but I think you might want to know this. And if you don't, like, it's cool, whatever. I find this is true, especially when it's bad breath, because everybody gets bad breath sometimes. And the people that I'm close with know, I want you to tell me when I have bad breath. It doesn't do me any good if I'm sitting with a student. Like, I have, you know, a gum or mints or whatever it is sometimes. But, you know, imagine I'm sitting with you, we're having a good discussion, and my breath stinks. And you don't tell me my breath stinks. So who exactly are you doing a favor to?
Sorry,
like, I wouldn't...
Tell you that?
Pardon?
I can actually do that, too.
You could actually do that. Absolutely. I'd want to know. Absolutely, I want to know. Thanks. Right? But, no, but seriously.
I'm on that list, but I can do that, too.
Absolutely. And you can do that with each other. You can create that space. Now, look, don't get me wrong. If it's the first day of Oraita, and the boys come in, and they sit down, and I've never met them before, or I've met them only in recruitment, and now we're sitting down, and one boy comes in, can I just... Yeah, your breath really stinks. So... there'd be like this very uncomfortable silence in the room, right? Because we don't have that relationship yet.
And I, you're so smelly, man.
Right? So you have to be able to create that space.
I mean, like, I can only think of, like, really one person in my life who, like, I can tell him, you have to do this. Like, that's not right.
You don't have to.
Well, so think about that for a minute. If there's only one person in your life that you can give tochacha to.
No, I mean, like, openly and, like, totally cool.
Then that means that there's a lot of people in your life that you haven't gotten to in that relationship with. I think that's a goal. By the way, I think in this relationship, right? In this, it's just a fire alarm terrorist alert. Don't worry, right? Oh no, that was last month, right? If that's a goal, that's something to achieve, to be able to reach a stage. Like, I could be wrong here, but I honestly believe that with pretty much everybody sitting in this room, if there was something that you were doing that I was struggling with, that I'd be able to sit down with you and tell you, like, what's on my mind in a way that you'd be able to hear it. I could be wrong, right? But I think so. I don't think that that was true at all in September. And by the way, I don't even think that was true in October, November. I think there were definitely guys in Shiva that had legitimate struggles with that. By the way, I could be wrong. Just because you think that a person's rated here, it doesn't mean you're right. But at least that the goal is to get to that space in a healthy relationship. And if you're, and by the way, what is tochacha? Like, what does tochacha mean? Tochacha means to reprove. What is it you're proving? Right? Lohochiach is to prove. You're proving that you care for a person. That's what tochacha is. You're telling someone off because you really care about them. If you're not telling them off because you care about them, if you're telling them off because you care about you, that's not tochacha and that's not healthy. If there's a guy who comes in every night and he just makes noise, turns on the light, wakes you up every night, and you're telling him off because you just want to sleep, right? So then that's a problem. But if you're telling him off because you feel like, you know, you want to have a healthy room situation and all sorts of other more altruistic reasons, then that'll go to a good place.
I mean, what's the problem with, like, telling him, like, if they come in and they make a lot of noise? What's the problem with telling them, like, please?
Well, what's your goal in telling them that? What's your goal in telling them, you know, you come in late every night?
You want a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Pardon? Is that your only goal?
It is selfish.
You want to not hate them.
I can see how it's selfish.
Let's take this to its extreme, okay? Let's agree that one goal is that you want to be able to get a good night's sleep. Okay? Why do you need to get a good night's sleep? He's having a good time. He's actually enjoying his yeshiva. Maybe this boy had a miserable first 2 months, and now finally, I don't know, he met some guys, and he's out in the chabura doing baba kama in the basement until 2 in the morning, and he's so excited about the gemara, he comes and he wakes you up, and he's having a great space, and you're going to tell him off, and you're going to ruin his fun. Or maybe he found a way, like he has a hard time falling asleep at night, so he works out in the room, and he's really in a good space. So don't get me wrong, but the real issue there is not just that you want to sleep. The real issue is that he has to develop sensitivity, because he'll be a better human being. And what's the reason why you want to get a good night's sleep? Because you want to be able to learn. And why do you want to learn? Because you want to make a difference in the world. If it's only about you, you're missing the opportunity to have that conversation be about much more than you. And if it comes from an energy of being more than just you, if you really care about him also, it'll be a healthier conversation. And the probability of it going somewhere healthy will be better. You don't think so?
Why this year? I mean, just
don't talk to
them. Like Shlomo, we had a heater in our room, which used to be really bright. And Shlomo came up and asked me, can you please turn off the heat and not put it on in the room because his brain can't fall asleep. Like, that's not a black eye. I don't know if that's, I mean, it could be just about him. Or I don't know if it could be about the room.
How late into the year?
I didn't think that was rude.
How late into the year did you have that conversation? First month, second month, third month, winter. I'm saying, right? So I promise you, not that you can't have that conversation and have it end okay, but the conversation is much easier to have 3 months into the year. Why? Because there's a relationship there.
I get that, but I don't think that was necessarily for like the greater good for me, but I think it bothered him and I want to like have a good...
Well, let me ask you a different question. If he's asking you to turn off the heater because, you know, it's hard for him to sleep, do you think you benefit from the fact that he asks you that and the fact that you can do it? And it's easy for you to do and you say, sure, but you become that little bit more tolerant?
Yeah, but that was just cold. Like I didn't know what?
So is that so simple? So now you're cold. Who says he's right? You're cold. Get an earmuff. And that earmuff. An eye blind, whatever.
Eye patch.
Whatever we call it, the LL thing,
I
yeah?
Bother him, so, like, when he told me bother him, I didn't mind. Like, it really wasn't a big deal at all.
Okay. I'm just saying that the more it becomes not about yourself, the less selfish it is, the more you're able to hear it. I think that's a general rule. And we'll get into that in Perek Vav, but what concerns me in Perek Hey is what it does for me to be able to do that. Like, you become a more tolerant person when you're able to make your issues less about yourself and more about everybody else. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't also be worried about yourself, but the self that you're worried about is not for yourself. It's so that yourself becomes the vehicle it needs to be. Like, why does he need to get a good night's sleep? Because he has a chavrusa in the morning. And if he can sleep better at night, he'll have a healthier learning experience, and his chavrusa will gain out of it, and the whole base members will gain out of it. Right? So you can drive yourself crazy thinking this, but it is the direction to go in. This makes you a healthier person. And you also find out that you become more tolerant, and things bother you less. When you're constantly thinking about, you know, so what is really bothering me about this? And do I care about the other person or is it just about me? Healthy, it's a healthy thought process, right? So the Rambam goes on here and he says, right? Lo yiratzecha v'ro b'shat ka'asel. Now what's the common ground here? You don't try to communicate when a person is in the midst of his passionate emotions. So if a person's really angry, don't try to calm a person down when they're angry. You don't ask a person about his neder, about his vow. Let's say a person swears, oh my God, I swear I'm going to, whatever it is. So sometimes those experiences are very passionate. You know, they're terrified of something or they're angry about something and they make an oath. You know, if you don't get up, I'm going to, right? Those sentences never end well. You know what I mean? Never healthy to end the sentence. We'll get to that in Perek Vav too, right? Until he calms down, interesting the language, until he cools down, right? Because emotion is associated with heat, with fire, you know, passion. And calmness is sort of a cooling down. You don't try to comfort a person when he's just lost someone and the death is still there. You don't do that. You don't even say anything, you know. I mean, I don't know if anybody here has had the experience, but you can imagine I've had the experience where someone loses someone close to them, and you're still in the midst of it, and the body's still lying there. And a person, you know, I remember there was the last night I was in the army. I was supposed to have a sichat magad. I was supposed to have a conversation with the battalion commander, and it's like a tradition. You go, he talks to you. You were a good officer. We want you to stay. What can we do to get you to stay? I don't want to stay. I'm ready to go. Fine. And then they make a party and whatever. So I'm sitting outside waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Turns out that there were two soldiers. They were on their way to do shmirah, guard duty in the ammo dump, which is on the edge of the base. And they were best friends. And they were like from the chulia. We're not talking about battle-worthy, top line, you know, whatever. These are the guys who come from troubled homes, whatever. And one of them was fooling around with his gun, and he didn't realize it was loaded. And he accidentally shot his best friend. Okay, the bullet went up through the neck and just killed him on the spot. And he was like a wreck. And they had to call Mishtarat Tzvait, the military police, whatever. Turned out there was nobody actually doing Shmirah on the body. So I grabbed a cook and we sat all in a Jeep all night and did Shmirah on the goof. We had to identify the body in the morning. Anyway, so I come back to the Magad's office and this Chayal is sitting outside the office. And there's two, you know, sort of soldiers with him. And he's hysterical. He's hysterical. It was an accident. I mean, his life is ruined. I mean, who knows where he's at today? This was many years ago, but you just killed your best friend. You don't sit and try to comfort a person in that type of situation. You just need to be there for him. There's not much you can say except to put your arm around a person, right? And sometimes that's not even healthy. Mipnei shehu bahul ad shikbareo. A person's in shock until he buries, in such a sense. V'chen kol kayotzei ba'elu. All those instances. V'lo yir'ele chaviro b'shat kal kalto. And you shouldn't look at your friend in the moment of his great mistake. I'll give you a great example. This is one of the greatest acts of chesed I think I ever did. And thought about it a long time. I was once walking in Manhattan. I was there on a trip. Maybe I told you the story. I was there on a trip. And I remember I was walking back somewhere at night. And I was passing a newsstand on 79th Street in Broadway. I still remember this. And there was a Rav who I saw standing at the newsstand. And he's like a Gemara lecturer or whatever, somewhere. He's well known. And I was about to call out and say hello. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I suddenly realized that he was like looking around. So I kind of took a step back. He was buying a magazine that, you know, a person really shouldn't buy, right? And I was shocked. Right now.
Sure it was him?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was him. You have to be Dan Lekavschut. I don't know. Maybe there was some person who was ill in the hospital and that was his taiva. And he made this guy promise him, please get me this man. I have no idea, right? I turned around, walked the other way. Didn't call out to him, didn't tell him, and have never told this person, who I'm not close with, but I've seen him on occasion. I struggled with this for a long time because I thought, look, if this is his issue, then maybe it's a sickness, maybe I told, but he doesn't teach children, that's not the issue. And I let it go. If I would have walked up to him, the level of embarrassment that he would have experienced, the pain that just walking up to him would have caused him, would have been, I think, unbelievable. And I let it go, and I've never told anybody about it because it would be pure, raw, unadulterated lashon hara, right? And you could debate this topic, right? But that would be the prime example that I could think of, right? When I think about this. When you see someone, you know, let's say, I don't know, someone accidentally, you know, doing something they shouldn't be doing, don't watch them. Walk away. Don't embarrass them, right? Let it go. Ela ya'ali me'nav mimenu, turn away. Right? You see somebody is talking. And they're in the basement and accidentally forgets himself and curses out loud. So cursing is a big problem. I think it's a big problem precisely because some people don't think it's a big problem. But that's a discussion we'll get to, right?
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God. We had a really annoying discussion.
Long conversation.
Where someone was saying that, like, because everyone does it, that means it's okay. And because everyone thinks that it's not a big deal, that means it's okay.
His kids will be allowed to.
Oh, no.
Years from now, he wouldn't mind at all. He'd be completely okay with his kids.
Okay, well, I hesitate to comment on this because since I don't know who was having the conversation, and since you're supposed to be dan lekavschut, assume the best about a person, so whoever it was that said that, so it could be that where he's coming from, that's a high madrig. I don't know where he started from. But if you ask me objectively, as a topic, the fact that everybody does something absolutely doesn't make it okay. Something is okay because it's okay, or it's not okay, but it's not okay because everybody does it. When I was in the reserves, you know, when I go to Miluim, and I'm going to have this again in April, I'll go to Miluim, and it's just one big foul fest. And it's a big challenge to be in a situation like that, and you can't tell a secular guy in the army, like, stop cursing around me. It's just you create barriers. And you gain a lot from how you close you become with your men and how you impact them. But when I get out of Miluim, it has absolutely affected me. And what you do in Miluim in order to not be affected. So absolutely, that we can have a discussion about foul language if you want.
We have a whole new batch of fresh stories.
Right. It's not that long in Miluim. It's only 3 days. But understand, right? So all of these instances, v'lo yishaneh b'shidiburo, v'lo yosif, v'lo yigra, ela b'divrei shalom v'chayotzei bahen. And there are two ways of understanding this, but one way is when you see a person doing something wrong, don't change the way you talk to them. Don't judge them. Don't be harsh with them. Don't give them the perception that you judge them, right? Klalo shel davar, and this is the rule. We'll finish with this, right? Klalo shel davar, eino medaber ela b'divrei chokhma o b'gmilut chasadim v'chayotzei behen. Make sure that when you speak, you're speaking wisdom, you're speaking balance, you're speaking tolerance, right? And you're speaking love and kindness. And if that's all that comes out of you, then that's the world you create around you. So that's a little food for thought. The last line of this halacha is a line which will absolutely open up a whole discussion. So we'll start that Bezrat Hashem Sunday. Shkoyach.